Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you very much for staying with us. So today there was a dialogue, and this was a dialogue that was, facilitated by the department in Gauteng, the legislature in Gauteng, as well as the community that really has been struggling in Westbury with human trafficking. I think we've spoken about human trafficking before, but there was a dialogue today at Westbury and also convened, as I said, hosted by Gauteng legislature. And I think, you know, it's sometimes you hear the stories on the news until you are faced with it yourself. It almost sounds impossible, or it sounds like, you know, a fiction. And it's one of those things that are difficult to understand or to even fathom. Awareness for Child Trafficking Africa is led by Hilary Leung, who has quite a harrowing story to give us. But this NGO has also been really, really instrumental in trying to deal with child trafficking and all the very, very ugly details of the kidnappings that we've seen around. So really appreciate your time, Hilary, for making time for us. Thank you so much, and good evening and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Sandrum.
Thank you. And let's talk a little bit about personally your own journey, because it is what inspired you putting together the people that you've put together and starting this initiative and starting this organization.
Well, firstly, good evening to all the listeners and to yourself as well, to the station as well. Yes, it comes a long way. I would say it is strategically planned by God. As our paths crossed, Matthew Mensah and myself are the co-founders of Awareness for Child Trafficking Africa, which we basically, in terms of legalities, in terms of paper, opened it up in 2019. But our work preceded the opening of the organization long before 2019, with all of his work, all my work across all the years, on the very social ills like human trafficking, gender-based violence, poverty. And we then, following our the opening of the Karabo Mokoena Foundation, are following the gruesome murder of Karabo Mokoena, that foundation is open, of which we were part of. And it then being more focused on gender-based violence and our work on human trafficking, etc., we then felt that the synergy was there. We should then just solidify everything and give it more structure and purpose. And that's where the birth of ACT Africa came about in 2019. But like I said, our work precedes that, by years. Mm.
I mean, as I said, sometimes it sounds like fiction, but there obviously are things that we still have not understood about how traffickers, kidnappers work. What do you wish as communities, as society, what do you wish we knew and understood about how they operate?
I have to say, if we could all, the brain power used to devise and come up with all of these kind of criminal actions to exploit people's vulnerabilities, it really is something that I wish if those energies were put to more positive things within our community, our communities would be so much of a better place, because those energies that have been used so negatively would now be used positively. And I just wish, one, you're dealing with human beings, you're dealing with people with right and wrong, people make choices and the things that they are involved with. And that is often what I, as a person, always say, gosh, those energies that we use to do all of this all of the wrong, all of the exploitation and all of the crime that goes on, if those energies can just be redirected to positiveness, it would just, you know, there'd be just so much of goodness, and our communities would obviously be so much better off. But that is not the perfect world that we're living in. That is a perfect world that we all strive for and hope for. But unfortunately, we're dealing with human beings.
What were the key points that came out today in the discussions at Westbury?
Well, you could see the people are hungry for change. People are, in terms of desperate for things to change in the community, in terms of the crime levels, in terms of what they're experiencing, the poverty levels. So human trafficking is a business. There is no emotion attached to it. So where they are vulnerabilities which arise out of desperations, out of whatever that desperation is, be it emotional, be it mental, be it physical poverty, which falls under your physical vulnerability, it will be exploited, and that exploitation emanates in a business for somebody that enriches someone out of exploitation. That is unfortunately what they're experiencing in various forms, whether and the community is hungry for peace. The community is just hungry to live normal lives and to be able to carry on without living in fear.
And did you get the sense that everybody now seems to be, you know, rallying behind trying to protect the community? You know, it is put together by a legislature, but have they brought in the right stakeholders to tackle this?
Well, look, it's a beginning. It's the start. And I do believe, you know, we did give some more advice to legislature on a way forward in terms of who else should be involved. For example, the Gauteng Provincial Task Team for Human Trafficking. So that is one of the things that we did say to legislate, ensure that they are involved as stakeholders. And the task team is made up of various government departments, including civil society organizations, you know, to basically combat human trafficking within the province. And we have basically appealed to legislators, asked them, I wouldn't say appealed, but suggested that they form part of this. So yes, there were different organizations there, different government departments that were there, including civil society organizations. So it's a step in the right direction, yes. I can't say that the wrong organizations or entities were there. Definitely on the right road. And obviously, we need to make sure that it's not a tick box situation or talk box scenario, where tangibility definitely has to set in order for the effect of today, the start of today, to be seen, to be felt. And of course, we can't do it alone. We need obviously the community's help, the community to cooperate with whatever programs, with whatever initiatives are then installed, coming forth from this. Yeah, so it's just the beginning, yeah.
With all the tools that you were able to give, and as you said, you know, you made suggestions to the legislature, and whatever it is that you were able to give tips to the community, did they feel that some of these tips are going to assist them?
Well, most definitely. They definitely did feel that, and I think many of them especially came up to me afterwards to speak to me, to get to know more about ACT Africa, and in certain cases, actually spoke about certain cases within, and where we could then redirect and, you know, and give off some kind of advice in terms of them getting further help. And that is essential. So I think from the community's perspective, look, over the years, especially from government, has gone into the communities and said, this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Whether it's happened or not, I cannot say. And I'm not about to even say, yes, it's happened or no, it's happened. But what I can say is, it's the first time that the legislature has actually stepped in. I haven't seen the legislature. You'd always hear certain departments from government or this would come in and that happened, but the actual legislature itself, for me, it's the first time that I have seen this happening. So I'm going to say let's give the benefit of the doubt and let's take it from here and see what happens. Yeah, but like we say, the situation and Honorable Dalton Adams does come from that community. He's quite aware of what happens in that community. So it's not something that is far removed from him. So he's very aware of it. So I think the heart of it starting in that community where he is familiar. Sorry, hold on. I've just got sorry about that. When he is familiar, I think that is basically a good start.
Appreciate it. And
let's give legislature a benefit of the doubt, yeah.
Absolutely. Larry, maybe just give people details of your NGO and how they get hold of you.
Yes, our NGO is Awareness for Child Trafficking Africa, in short, ACT Africa. Our website is www.actafrica.org.za. And you can contact us and email us at info@actafrica.org.za. And we are on various social media platforms. On Facebook, we are ACT Africa. On LinkedIn and YouTube, it's Awareness for Child Trafficking Africa. And please do follow us on Instagram. It is at ACT Africa ZA. That is, and you can DM us through any of those platforms to get in touch with us.
I appreciate your time. Hilary Leung is an Awareness for Child Trafficking Africa founder. And so go to their websites if you really have anything related to human trafficking that you would like assistance with. They are definitely the people to get in touch with. Thank you so much for staying with us. So we're going to have, as we do on a Tuesday, we have those family meetings where we discuss absolutely anything and everything. And if you have a topic that you want us to flesh out, this is a good time for us to do that. And just send us a voice note or a little text, and then we'll certainly have a look. We'll get the right person and we'll discuss the matter. It doesn't have to be politics, guys. We're not all about politics. It can be absolutely anything and everything. But Thando and I, my producer, came across a clip which we thought would be a very, very interesting talking point. And we do have a psychologist, a counseling psychologist, Buyim Glina, who is actually coming through to us via Zoom. And she's going to help us get through this discussion. But let's take a listen and then we'll kick it off.
Here's the thing no one tells you about marriage, about family. How much you can resent the people you love for everything you had to give up for them, and there's never even a thank you. You just give it all up because that's what having a family demands of a woman. And then you wake up one day and you realize the person that you were meant to be is gone. You gave her up for people who don't even see you. And there's no time to grieve her because there's too much damn laundry. You just wake up one day and you realize that half of you, maybe the best part of you, is dead. And you take it for granted that when push comes to shove, your sacrifices will be remembered and appreciated, and the people closest to you will show you some grace when you need it, and then they don't.
So how many parents feel like that? How many parents feel like you are carrying all the load, and nobody seems to appreciate the load you're carrying? Buyim Glina is a counseling psychologist coming through to us via Zoom, but she's going to be taking your calls as well. She's going to help us navigate this conversation. 086-000-00959. You can send us also a voice note on 063-688-0959. Buyim, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Pamela. Good evening, Bomkaya. Thank you for this opportunity.
It's obviously a clip from a movie. So we just took a little bit of that clip. But for us, it sounded like it's so familiar. And we just wanted to talk about the load people are carrying. And it doesn't have to be mothers. It can be, you know, single fathers or even, you know, people who are carrying the home, so to speak, that we are carrying so much. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels like nobody gets to appreciate. Is it that people don't appreciate or people don't realize how much we carry?
So it's one of two things. So the first thing is, of course, we're focusing on this clip. So we want the listeners to also resonate with what the clip had in store. So other people may have different experiences. They may feel empowered in their marriages and all of that. That's great. But in terms of focusing on women who feel like in terms of their contribution to their families has felt quite sacrificial, and the least rewarding in many instances, that's the focus of our conversation this evening. So when we think about the full scope of it, is that at the core, there is a tendency in our appreciation for the role of women in families, what does it mean to be a good parent, what does it mean to be a good partner. There's a lot of putting aside, setting aside your own self to advance the collective need. Mm. And that's the thing that then brings and breeds the resentment that we hear about in this clip. But that setting aside for, you know, to prioritize the collective need has elements of choice. And sometimes we feel like we do not have a choice in terms of pursuing balance, yet we do.
I want to say that a lot of that comes perhaps from how many of us have been cultured. It is, you know, it's one of those things where you are taught that it's the right thing to, you're a good person when you put yourself aside, you know, and you look after other people. That's what a good person does. So we are in a way brought up in that culture of being nurtured to be these beings that nurture other people and only look after yourself much later.
So there's a difference between unconditional regard and disregard of self. Mm. Unconditional regard is this sense of understanding the ecosystem as a reciprocal ecosystem. You know, in as much as I give of myself, I receive. It may not be to the same measure, but there is a sense of awareness of each other in the collective. But disregard of self is others are going to take priority over myself. Mm. And even sometimes there's a lot of awareness that is even brought to people to say, yes, it may be a social condition. It may be the thing that, you know, was introduced to us. You know, it may be the discourse that forms a lot of our positionalities in families. But disregard is so different from unconditional regard. And that becomes very, very important to kind of really foreground when you're thinking about how you position yourself in the collective unit that is family.
It's in a way maybe something you can work on with the family once you make them see that, look, I need to now start doing some work with myself and looking after myself. How easy will it be if they don't see what you're saying?
When it comes to, so I'll use the kind of typical conversation that we have around love languages, right? We always take it around the context of romantic relationships. But love languages are a human condition. They are human expression. That same measure that I was speaking about earlier on is where the problem typically is. There are ways in which people are contributing meaningfully to the wellness of the home. But because it's not in the way that we would desire, we don't necessarily have it hold in our understanding and reasoning of what reward should look like. Mm-hmm. In the clip, you know, the person speaks about this resentment and says there's no thank you, there's nothing that comes back. But I promise you, there's always something that comes back. Mm. It's just that it doesn't come back packaged in the way that would make us feel validated and affirmed. So sometimes we have to then look at the people around us and pay careful attention to say in which ways, be it grand or minor, are people showing regard and gratitude for each other in the space. And once we start to master how people love and how people show up and what their personality, preferences are and temperament in the space, then we start to shape and reframe what reward looks like for the effort that we put in our families.
And for those who are completely disregarded, how should they communicate that to the family?
The first point of reference must be self-introspection. To say, if you feel disregarded, what are you calling that?
Yes.
What is it manifesting as or translating into? That's the first point of call. So that when you go to people and you speak about and relay sometimes just simple fatigue. Sometimes we're just fatigued. And we are saying, guys, I need you to throw me a lifeline here. I don't feel like I can show up the way that I typically would or generally do. And I need just a moment. You must be able to find the language of articulating yourself, because every person looks out for themselves.
Mm.
If someone feels like, I don't think I can meet you halfway, they're going to come up with every reason why they can't meet you halfway. So sometimes we're then reactive in our relationships and we feel like everyone should get it. You know, you should be able to see as I walk through the door that I don't have capacity today. But you have to be able to find the language to relay the fact that I sometimes feel like I prioritize myself the least, and also hold yourself accountable for how you have placed yourself in this position, so that everyone can tell that, oh, it's a dual process. It's not a, I don't want this, I don't like this, and I'm putting it on you. I must also be able to say, I am responsible for this much in my sense of feeling disregarded.
Because you also teach people how to treat you. So you may have set the tone in the family about how everybody must go up. You may be the person who doesn't feel that when they pitch in, it's good enough. You know, maybe people try and tidy up and you want to do it over again because you don't think, you know, they've done a good enough job. So they will leave you to be the only one who tidies up the house or cleans the house because that you want it your way. So they will leave you to it. It's not that they don't regard you, but you've taught them that you only like it when it's your way.
And that's the tug of war we have in our teenagehood, where the chores start to be introduced more, in a more determined manner.
Yes.
Is that I feel like I'll get to it. I can see the dishes. I'll get to it.
Mm.
But other people in the space feel like your sense of ease and being relaxed doesn't work for me because I don't like to see my kitchen this way. But they're going to get to it for sure. And they just need time. They want to do it in their own time. So it is those kinds of things of being able to say, what am I going to admit and what am I going to put on the table so that we can all collaborate in terms of how we can make each other's lives easier.
How does one check themselves? In other words, before you start feeling like it's other people's fault, are there ways in which you can check yourself to just check whether maybe I'm just tired, as you said, maybe you're just exhausted, maybe other things are going on, maybe it has got nothing to do with anybody else?
I think it's one of those things where it needs you to have a keen sense of self-awareness, because there are moments where you can tell that today is just not the day and it's nobody's fault. You're also feeling quite overwhelmed. There's a lot that's happening to and around you. And I suppose in moments like that, you know, you can see it in the irritability, sometimes the kind of distractedness, forgetfulness, feeling highly heightened in your emotions, feeling like you can't particularly articulate yourself well, feeling misunderstood. Those are signs of burning out. And the challenge is that we, even when we feel those things, even when our mind and body tells us that we are not aligned, we're not peaceful, we're not settled, we don't feel like the people around us are safe spaces to be able to say, I need a moment. Could I please get a moment? We almost feel like if I am to even, you know, express that I am tired or express that, can we have hot dogs for dinner instead of a full course meal, it's going to start a whirlwind of disagreement and conflict. So in our effort to keep the harmony, we decide to internalize and implode because it's not safe to be able to express the fact that I need support and I need support in this way.
Generally, you know, maybe you can kind of work around the family, but the system all around us doesn't really quite give us that kind of room. I'm just maybe imagining someone who's like a domestic worker who everybody demands everything of them. And it's a job. It's not that it's something that they can negotiate. You know, how does one protect themselves in that situation?
For, you know, with working conditions, I really, you know, sometimes I really wish we could have a conversation just to foreground some of the working conditions in our homes, because domestic workers and helpers really form part of the unit. If you are to get the best out of them and much out of them, and also how they, their mental health matters in ensuring that your family system actually works efficiently. So when it comes to helpers, we need to be able to put in working hours, because that is, that boundary is the first sign of respect for the next person. If your helper is working around the clock 24/7, something is terribly wrong. Because if we're saying that she, you know, she's going to start her day at this time to that time, then we must be able to honor that. That is our regard for them. That's our regard for her. Just in the same way as when you hire an au pair, they come and they assist and there's set hours. For our domestic workers, we also need to have set hours for them and not feel like they must be on call as though they were doctors all the time. They must have those hours so that they can also recover from being available to everyone in the space throughout the day. If we don't create that for them, and we create an unbounded system in the family, people start to burn out, people start to, you know, dissociate, split, they start to project some of that, you know, dissatisfaction in the way that they show up in the home.
I want to take calls. 086-000-0959. We've just hinted at burning out, and I want to just maybe explore that a little bit more with Buisile, who is our guest this evening, a psychologist. And we're talking about feeling, you know, a bit unseen in the world, in your family, and how sometimes you may feel overwhelmed, and perhaps you think everybody's against you. And we're trying to navigate that space. So let us know how you're feeling, how you're coping. Maybe you are overwhelmed. Maybe you are burnt out. And how are you able to communicate, or are you able to communicate to your family that maybe you need a bit of time out? We, without having to necessarily take a sabbatical, I'm sure all of us would like to take a sabbatical.
For sure.
Are there things that we can do to allow us to reset in a way, maybe on a daily basis, so that you can continue without completely depleting yourself?
We need to restore the idea of partnership. Partnership in parenting, partnership in you know, our relational dynamics. You know, one of the things that women will express quite often is the fact that, you know, some of these roles and responsibilities that have been allocated in the families towards either two adults or, you know, the nuclear dynamic are quite limiting in being able to partner effectively. So when it comes to being able to you know, do the work and be proactive. We really need everyone to understand that as a unit, we must move as a unit. We must be able to pick up on each other's strengths and weaknesses. We must be able to have awareness of each other. And no one must be invisible. No one must fade into the background. No one must be closed off and create a defensive wall where, you know, when you come home, you're so consumed with other things. You're on your laptop, you're on your phone. You're not participating in moving the collective forward. So we have to restore partnership, because that's the kind of assistance that comes with being able to pull in the same direction as a family, pull in the same direction as partners, assist us in being able to have a sense of each other. Because for the parts where I am unable to fulfill much, my partner must be able to step in and you know, be able to help balance out how we are existing in the space, and vice versa. So we have to restore partnership. Even with children, we have to engage children in partnership. Mm. This is the home. Everyone shows up in the home in a particular way. It doesn't matter whose plate is in the sink. It when you see it and you know that we are supposed to keep our spaces neat and clean, it's everybody's responsibility. Mm. So just going back to, let us partner in a meaningful way. Let us partner in a way that allows us really to redefine the mechanics of our family systems.
I've got Spoo in Turfontein who's on the line with us. I hope you can hear him when he comes through. Spoo, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, ladies. How are you doing?
Good. Good. How are you, Spoo?
Not bad at all.
Good.
I just wanted to tackle cultural expectations, because I think this is where most of this emanates from, right? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, empathize with the ladies mostly, because I feel like expectations, especially when it comes to taking care of the household, is mainly on the ladies' side, you know? Us as the guys, we are taken as the providers. You go out there, you go hunt, and you come back and you feed your family, right? That's how it traditionally was. But now, things have changed a bit, because now we both go out and hunt, right? Because in most households, men and women, the mother and the father are working. Mm. But at the same time, it hasn't been now rediscuss in terms of now, how do we take care of the household? How do we split the chores and all of that? And you'll find that now the lady is working, but is still expected to be taking care of her family in terms of the cooking and the cleaning. And even when there's a helping person in the house, there's certain things, like cooking is usually, the helping lady can't cook for the men of the house in most cases. But also, ladies, I want to advise that, you know, ladies get excited when they are being proposed to, right? And they're always looking forward to the wedding day and to being a missus and all that stuff, that they don't say, okay, so now you want to be my partner for life. How are we going to break this down, responsibility-wise, jobs-wise, and you know what I mean? And then they just automatically assume the traditional role without having the discussion that, okay, now we're getting into a marriage, but in a modern setup, right? What are the expectations after the preparations, after the wedding, after everything, the excitement has died down? What is expected of me? I don't think that conversation takes part a lot. So my suggestion tonight is that as you are dating and as you're getting serious, as you become fiancés, the guy proposes, then discuss the nitty-gritties of, okay, what type of setup is this marriage going to be, right? I'm working, you working. How many kids are we going to have? And when we're both tired, all those things about can we buy takeaways should be discussed before you get into the marriage, right? And don't just get lost in the excitement. And I know it's difficult. I know it's just like saying at month end, don't spend your money so speedily. We all know that by the 15th, we know that when the 25th comes, let's calm down and stick to the budget. But who really does it? You know what I mean? So as I'm emphasizing here, ladies, when you get proposed to, before you start planning the wedding, look a bit further. Look a bit further way beyond the wedding and say, how is this setup going to work up? Can I just mention something?
Yes.
There was a show called My Wife and Kids.
Yeah.
When I was a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tunelo, from the townships, we learn from role models that are far from us because you can learn from your neighbors. Mm. The system is the same, right? That show, I learned a lot about the type of parent that I want to be and the type of partner that I want to be.
Mm.
I know it's got comedy in it. It's got exaggeration in it.
Mm.
But it showed me that, you know what? There don't have to be violence in the house.
Mm.
There can be discussions in the house. There can be negotiations in the house, you know. Mr. Mike Kyle and the wife, you know, they used to, like, if you take the kids to the mall for me, I'll do this.
Mm-hmm.
He used to even say, I just want to walk around the house naked,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you do this for me. They used to have those type of deals. They would make deals with each other,
mm-hmm.
even with the kids. If you do your homework, this is, you're going to get this amount to go to the mall with your friends. So some of these things, some of us that were watching comedy and soapies, we did learn them from TV.
Mm.
But some of our peers would be like, no, that's not reality.
Mm.
But guess what? If you read between the lines, there were hints and advice that you could take from there and apply somehow in your life.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. I definitely hear you. Yeah. Were you your response to that?
Yeah, thank you so much to the listener. And I think, you know, he mentions a lot of very important things to consider, especially in the journey towards you know, matrimony and beyond. But one of the things, you know, As we talk about some of the cultural norms, heteronormative norms, and expectations of men and women in the home, is that one thing that I'm coming to realize is that, you know, our marriages are void of friendship.
Mm.
They are this social institution where we feel like, you know, everyone must be in their own silo doing their own thing and hoping that, you know, and hoping for the best.
Mm.
When it comes to, for example, cooking and all of that, we're not necessarily saying that sometimes it must be this hard line and hard determination of who does what, cut right to the middle.
Mm.
But we're saying that there must be a sense of companionship in the home.
Mm.
If I am cooking at the end of a long day, and thank goodness for open plan, because back then everyone went into a kitchen and you closed the door and it was highly isolated.
Mm.
You know, no sense of sight of the person. Do they look worn out? They look so. The open plan at least was one step architecturally that's starting to break down defenses.
Mm.
But the companionship becomes very important because we could simply share space. You could be in my company, and that makes so much of a difference. It doesn't matter that are you going to chop or not. It's the fact that you can set aside time, and we can share a moment, even when we are preparing a meal for the family. Kids are observing, they're watching all the time, and they realize and they see that, oh, dad does this, mom does that, and they're going to replicate that in their own romantic relationships and other relationships in the future. It's the companionship. It's lacking significantly, where we feel like, do your thing, I do my thing, and we hope for the best.
I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'll take more of your calls and your questions. You know, you may be completely overwhelmed, you may be worn out. And how are you coping? How are you coping at home? How are you coping with the demands that the home has over you? Are you guys parenting well? Or maybe everything falls on you. Let us know. 086-000-00959. And these don't have to be, you know, the traditional kind of family. You may be looking after the elderly, maybe in your home, and you're the only one who's looking after those people and children, and everybody relies on you for meals and everything. So maybe let us know. Are you overwhelmed? How are you coping? I'd love to hear from you. 086-000-00959. Buyem Glina is our counseling. This is somebody who's, she's a psychologist, but she's really here going to try and assist us, especially if you're struggling with how can we regroup? How can we every day, you know, take one step in front of the other as we navigate this thing called life? Thank you so much for staying with us. William Glinner is with us. She is going to help us navigate being overwhelmed. Are you feeling overwhelmed as a parent, as a caregiver, as a mother, as a partner, and everything just seems to be overwhelming you? You know, are you feeling tired? Are you exhausted? Do you feel like nobody sees you and everything is on your shoulders? Love to hear from you. And she's going to be helping us navigate. She's a counseling psychologist, and she's on the line with us until 9 o'clock. So let's take those calls on 086-000-00959. Let's have an open conversation. You can be anonymous if you like. You know, nobody has to know it's really you. But if you are feeling like you cannot cope and you feel like it's the load is just too much, perhaps this is a good time to talk, and maybe this is a good time to get some assistance. You can also send a voice note on 063-688-0959. And Dr. Selby, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Colonel. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Dr. Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Always lovely hearing from you, Dr. Selby.
Yes. Mm. You know, Colonel, it don't mean, Hore, this thing is a problem to those who are married only.
Yeah, of course.
It's even a problem to those who have divorced.
Yeah.
Because I remember my mother stood out of work for almost 3 years, struggling to feed us, to take care of us, my father not helping her with anything. She was struggling alone.
Yeah.
And my father, being a businessman, spending money on the one who are around her. Lenyalo la rona re ya kae, because lenyalo mo na believe hore we are one. Problem ya o ke problem ya ka re a thusana lenyalo. Then o ne le ba phemelo ba ile ngore go sebetsa ke habit mo bona. Le o ka re wa mo thusa aho lo dula fa.
Yeah,
re tsontsore
Thanks, Dada Selby. Thank you. Bui? Can you hear us, Bui?
I'm with you.
Okay. I mean, he makes very important points, especially around the fact that being tired and overwhelmed and all of that does not necessarily only refer to people who have to go to work. You know, you can be overwhelmed and tired and exhausted by being just a caregiver at home, or you are just someone who's looking after the home, and it's a lot.
And I mean, Dr. Selby, you know, spoke about some of the emotional neglect that happens in families, as he relayed how he experienced his mother and the struggles that she endured, and you know how, you know, his father was not able to assist in many of what the needs were in the home, and that emotional neglect is a very common thing in our homes, in our households as well, and it then puts a tremendous strain on an already overstretched nurturer, because more than anything, it's okay, we may be going through a phase in the household where a lot of things don't particularly make sense. But what does it mean for us to reason together? What does it mean for us to figure things out together? The moment where everyone is overwhelmed and everyone turns their back towards the other person, and, you know, there's this kind of passive aggression, absence, distance, and everything in between that is a result of just not being able to own some of the ways in which we are anxious and stressed about, you know, transitions and turning points in our families, leads to the emotional neglect. And I think also, you know, going back to the clip and everything that has been said, it's that once a person feels like all that they are good for is what they can do rather than who they are, then that places a tremendous burden on our psyche.
You know, you mentioned a very important part of what we had not discussed, the emotional neglect, as you said, that sometimes what makes the person feel overwhelmed, unseen, is the layers of this neglect that you speak of, the emotional neglect. So, yes, there is the physical body that seems to be busy, but perhaps is weighed down by other problems, you know, poverty, unemployment, illness, death, all those things that could be part of what's layering the burden and layering the fatigue of the individual.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
And as I was saying earlier, you know, the tools that we can use, you know, in our daily lives, when you are feeling like it's a lot and you don't seem to know how to cope.
You know, community becomes very important, Pamela. Very, very important. There are certain insights and wisdom that can be, you know, kind of unearthed in, you know, in other spaces, as opposed to the home. If the home at the moment is quite functional and mechanical,
Yeah.
It serves that purpose and that purpose only. Whether we would like to extract regard and huff and puff, it just serves a mechanical purpose at the moment.
Yeah.
Intimacy may be a thing that we need to now start to explore deeply and engage over, you know, time. But community matters, the friends, the family, when you kind of look at, for example, you know, we'll use our mothers and women. The Stockfell and the church group was the place where they felt like I could ventilate what I'm going through. And they could be holding of space and regard for me, and even counsel and encouragement in terms of, oh, maybe, you know, do this, do that. I was trying this, I tried that. Oh, children are this. Oh, partners sometimes are this. That community, the moment you isolate, you are now a danger even to yourself, because you are saying that I am drowning and there isn't a place of relief. There isn't a point of relief in the communities that I've built around me. So in terms of how it works, there's the introspective part where you kind of sit and you ask and you determine for yourself, in which ways have I overcommitted myself? But also there are other spaces that you need to feel like you can, you know, engage, even therapy, counseling, engaging the fact that this is how I show up in my home. It works sometimes, sometimes it doesn't. It was beneficial right at the beginning. Now it's becoming quite tedious, and I'm not, you know, gaining any form of reward or fulfillment from the way that I'm showing up right now. And those spaces will be able to hold the mirror up to you and also provide the insight necessary for you to transform.
Can you overshare with community?
We overshare all the time. I mean, in ways where sometimes it's really innocent. But we find ourselves really going in depth with certain things. You know, there's only so much vagueness you can portray to meaningful people. Sometimes we feel like we're so careful in not necessarily exposing certain things. But many people amongst us are quite wise to come to those conclusions for us, to say, okay, perhaps there is a challenge here of feeling, you know, marital dissatisfaction or dissatisfaction in your parenthood and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it becomes one of those things where in communal spaces, as much as possible, we need to discern if they are safe enough. If you're not quite trusting that something would be held in confidence, trust that intuition and hold back. There are things that, as you think them, a part of you says, maybe not this.
Maybe not this.
Trust
space.
That voice that says, maybe not this. Yes. And come into spaces such as counseling or therapy to work through.
It's definitely an option. Yeah. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to take those calls on 086-000-959 and the voice notes on 063-688-0959. Boim Glinner is my guest. She's a counseling psychologist. You just earlier on touched on burnout. Can we maybe just define what burnout looks like or is?
So burnout is, you know, it has a wide a variety of diverse factors can lead to that. But basically it's when we feel overstretched, when we feel overcommitted, when we feel like we've just been on this mode of go, 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 and there hasn't been enough opportunities in between to rest, to recover, and also to just, you know, re-engage and re-establish our ways of working and shift things around. So burning out, if we can just hold the metaphor of a candle, to say if you didn't kind of top up the wax, mm-hmm. it kind of burns out. There's a point where you're feeling quite spent, mm. and there isn't much more. You haven't struck the balance between there's a bit that you give off and a bit that you replenish, a bit that you give off and a bit that you replenish.
And I imagine this takes some time. So it's a process. To burn out doesn't happen over one night. It's an ongoing thing. You've been burning out, so to speak. And so replenishing that wax that you just spoke of now, what would be the process thereof?
It's realizing that your health and well-being allows you to show up the way that you show up. It allows, if you're your best self, you show up in the best way.
Mm.
So that's the part that we forget. We always feel like I just need to show up in the best way, but we're not our best self.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, when it comes to being able to work through those things, it's about being able to, you know, ask yourself, yes, I may derive, you know, great joy. Sometimes we burn out even for the things we love.
Mm.
It's not necessarily to say it's always for the things that are indicators of maybe you're misplaced, this is not the thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
We burn out even in the things we're passionate about. And the thing about it is that we're not able to realize what is the time that we put in and the time that we take for ourselves. So that becomes the first point of reference to say, what are the things that you do, even if it's the smallest and the little things, they matter the most in terms of just being able to allow you to reset, allow you to recover as a person. So, for example, it's if I like to read,
mm-hmm.
I must be able to carve out the time to do that. Yes, there are certain years when we are just, you know, in marriage and parenthood where we feel like we're on go mode, things need to be done, but things eventually settle. And when they do, that's when we feel like we've lost out on ourselves, because mm-hmm. we were not aware of the fact that we still needed to do things that were going to give back to us. We still needed to enjoy the simple pleasures. We still needed to affirm ourselves the way that we affirm ourselves. We still needed to, you know, allow for vulnerability to have its place in our homes, ask for help, receive help. When people extend help, you know, don't close it off. Don't feel like I don't like asking for help. I don't want to be a burden. Those are the things that, you know, start to strip away from our sense of self. And we then feel like the identity of being a wife or the identity of being a mother or the identity of being a caregiver matters above the identity of just being you, what you've worked on for all of these years. So that replenishment is, it needs to be conscious, it needs to be intentional, it needs to be proactive, it needs to be the thing that you do that rewards you at the end of the day, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the month, halfway through the year. There has to be the thing that you do that makes you feel whole as a person.
Mm. I've got an SMS here, quite moving. It says, good evening. I have recently welcomed my newly born child, and I say I was never prepared for the emotional absence we receive as male figures, and yet expected to keep it moving. It can be very overwhelming at times. Buye?
Mm-hmm. You know, we have a persistent crisis of men and young boys being forgotten.
Mm.
And our focus is usually on the mother and the child.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that there is a man who must also adapt to what it means to transition into parenthood, into fatherhood. So those kinds of things become quite hard. And I think, you know, there's a lot of sacrifice that comes into allowing each person to find their feet when a big transition has happened. But I think it becomes quite important not to lose sight of each other. And that's what I was saying, to say it goes back to companionship, to friendship. Mm. We've lost the art of how to be friends in relationships. Because when a friendship is, you know, works well and is healthy, there's a lot of, although I may need much, I also stop myself to ask, you know, in a form of consideration, what do you need as well? Mm. And that's the process that happens. So it becomes, the community then becomes important, like I was saying. This sense of feeling the absence, this sense of feeling forgotten, it is not particularly easy. And sometimes you need to go to spaces that will be able to affirm and validate you, to say perhaps right now the focus and the priority is here, but also gently nudge for awareness of you too.
Yeah.
In this change.
I was gonna say, I mean, they may not want to be with other people. They may want to be part of this, and maybe no one's aware, because you know, a new baby, people are so exhausted and busy that I don't even think they're aware that you are now an outsider. So maybe you know, the male, the father must involve themselves, sort of insert themselves in the mix, even though they're not invited, or say something. It may be tricky. Because
we must talk. You know, Pamela, I'm like, a lot of the things that we fixate on in having these psychosocial conversations are really around the fact that we don't talk anymore. Like, we just assume, we hope for the best. You can't do that in a relationship. Ntate Selby was like, we are one. What hurts me hurts you, what grieves you grieves me. So we must talk, we must always have sight of each other.
Let's take a listen to a voice note.
You know, women are going through a lot and are taking in a lot. So growing up, we grew up in an era where some of our mothers were not working and they were taking the traditional role of a woman, you know. We grew up seeing our mothers do everything in terms of house chores, right? And in a way, you are kind of socialized to do the same thing. But with us, it then becomes a problem when you now have to do all these things while you are going to work. So it's going to be the work stress where you are expected to deliver. And then when you come back, because also you are socialized to do it in your head and in your mind, you are used to seeing it, and you grew up seeing it, so you expect yourself even to do all these things, to take care of the children, to make sure that the house is clean and everything. Then at the end of the day, you burn out. And that is one of the, I guess, main things. Maybe we are not able to keep the relationships that we've had. We are not able to keep the marriages that we are into, because now you are taking in so much, and it kind of builds sometimes resentment for the other party in the relationship, because the other party is relaxed. All he has to stress about is going to work. When now you go to work, you come back, over stress this is, right? But I think it's how we were socialized, how we grew up, is also very problematic. There's a lot of unlearning that we still need to do.
Yeah, I mean, you were just saying earlier, you know, we need to talk, and we need to, as she says, we need to do a lot of unlearning, because maybe they're not aware.
For sure. And the thing is, if we're being quite honest, us as the children are the ones who are bullied. Mm. There's a lot of displacing the frustration on the kids.
Mm.
Now you're so obsessed about the kids showing up for the household, because you can't approach your partner and be like, oh, what dumb, dumb. Can we just, you know, I need help.
Assist
here and
one
there.
Another.
So you wait for the kids. Yeah, you wait for the kids to be 8 and 9, and you transfer all of that responsibility onto them.
Mm. I mean, I can see that, because then you are sitting with the workload. Work is stressful. You don't have enough hours in the day. You have this boss that keeps sending you messages and emails in the middle of nights, weekends, Friday nights. You must respond. If you don't respond, you feel like you're not, committed enough to your job. You are early at work. You must make sure that you show up for school things. And yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It is. It is. We really are asking for our men, our fathers, our brothers, please, show up. We cannot emphasize it enough. This is a public service announcement to ask for men in our lives to show up better. If they can, in the little things, they don't even think about grand gestures. Mm. The little things, the mere fact that I can chop up an onion whilst you are, doing other things, goes a long way. I cannot emphasize how far that goes. Yeah.
But you said something very important. Sometimes it is even the spaces that you share with other people, that you are not sitting there alone, being the only one ironing. And everyone is sitting playing PlayStation or whatever they do, and watching, I don't know, a soccer match or whatever, and you are isolated. That can be something that's quite stressful, because here you are standing busy ironing or whatever, then people are having a jaw, and no one seems to care that you are actually in the middle of chores while they are relaxing and enjoying themselves,
Yeah. But also, Uta Desalbi said something very important. He said there are also, partners who just won't sit down.
Yes.
Like for them,
yeah,
they've really taken the act of service and made it a personality.
Yeah.
To say, for me, I must be of service to others all the time.
Yeah.
Even if I'm tired, and we must be able to acknowledge that, although it may be admirable, it's not sustainable. And that's the thing that becomes very important. That's why you need a partner. That's why with our partners, opposites attract. Because ideally, we pair up with people who are supposed to be able to help highlight the things that are blind spots to us. Sit down. Put it aside, put it away, we'll get to it. You need the person who's going to, really validate the fact that I want to spend time with you here. We want to spend time with you here as a family. When we have, completed that episode of whatever or that board game, then we can all get up and see what we can do in the home. You don't have to be talking under your breath because you're ping-ponging in the house because you're very sold out in an act of service being a personality.
Yeah. Where do people find you?
Where do people find me? I'm based based here in Johannesburg in the Linden area. But in terms of social media, I think that's always quite easy, simple. So on X, Twitter, it's at @Buyi_M. And then on Instagram, it's Buyisile Mncina, and my details are there. And I think if you just add me, have a conversation, ping me, we can have a conversation on those platforms.
I really appreciate your time. Thank you, Sonke, so much for all your expertise, your advice and everything.
Thanks, Pamelo, and have a good evening.
Have a good evening to you too. All right, folks. I mean, geez, I hope you got something out of that. I think, especially for those of you who are feeling like, where are we now? Are we in September? And the end of the year cannot come sooner. And you are already struggling. Many, many of us are struggling with getting to the end of the year. Buyi is available, and she is on all social media platforms as Buyisile Mncina. And you can reach out and perhaps you can go have a consultation. That brings us to the end of the show. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.